Welcome to the actual episode this week of This Is Silly with the Wool Against Mitch. Brad.
Hello.
Matthew Bird.
Hello.
Dakota, the dog.
Yeah, hi, Dakota. I've become unresponsive at your openings because sometimes you say Matt first and sometimes you say me first.
I keep you on edge.
I know,
that's
so
why.
I kind of zoned out there, and then I was like, oh, you said my name first. So
that's why I do it, to make sure you're paying attention and not zoning out.
I'm not paying attention. Sorry for the delay.
That's professionalism.
Yeah.
We did get paid, though, so we are professionals.
One time, that's all it takes.
After about 30 minutes, I'm going to go two-footed into Mitch, and I'm just going to get sent off, and that'll be it for me for the season.
Yeah, no shit.
And the podcast will just tank after that for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think you're smarter than that.
We really don't get paid enough to do this every week, kind of like the team. No, I mean let's just talk about it.
We have to go though.
The King's Cup, the biggest match of the year for us,
because we've gotten to that point where
nothing else
matters.
There was nothing else, but there was one sliver of hope that they could salvage something for the season. I wasn't even wanting to necessarily win the King's Cup because Louisville had beaten us 2-0.
We'd have to score 3.
I wanted to win the game, and like last year, even the series and it go to a tiebreaker. That was my moral victory.
I just wanted to win the game.
If we'd have won the game, we'd have been going into this week with something to play for.
Well, that's true too, but I'd already given up on that previously.
The math was hard. It was possible, but it was hard. There was a chance that if we won, we'd have something to play for this week.
But just winning the game against Louisville, I would have had a little bit of pride.
It's the emotional attachment to that game. It's Louisville.
Right. Everybody was on board. Everybody knew how important that one was.
It was sold out. I mean,
6,000 people.
4 people, yeah.
I mean, what an amazing, amazing
biggest crowd
job
ever for St. Louis FC.
Beyond standing room only. You know, our corner was packed. Everybody tried to make it to the last game that could.
Early goal by Roberts.
And
we were in it, man.
And things were zooming.
We came out flying.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't just...
They came out flying too, but we were holding our own.
It was. You knew 5 minutes into the game, this was going to be a balls out slugfest.
Jordan got that goal, and I said, it's on. Here we go.
That was the happiest I've been at a goal all season, I think, because it was just, we are not shooting ourselves in the foot.
And then... We shot ourselves in the foot.
I turned to you after Jordan scored and said, hey, we've got plenty of time to get 2 more.
Yeah.
And that was it. Jinxed us right there.
And the thing was, too, is that
Musa lost the fucking plot. There's no reason for that tackle at that position and at that time of the game.
None. None whatsoever. And you know, it's funny. There's the saying, you see the crimson mask.
Yeah.
And usually it applies to just rage. You know, the... Wayne Rooney sees the crimson mask. Used to see
honestly
the crimson mask.
I have no idea what he was doing there.
I think he saw the stupid mask, because it wasn't even like anger. Like the guy had screwed him earlier, and he was getting a retaliatory foul.
Well, and Matt was on the Derby Ultras podcast, and yeah, if he was the last man back and trying to prevent a goal, I guess. But this was midfield.
Baker wasn't
going anywhere.
No, there was nothing there. There was nothing going on other than stupidity.
It was a mess.
That's all there is to it.
And I've defended Musa time and time again. I think the kid has all the talent in the world. I think he plays with a lot of heart. He's made dumb mistakes. I mean, go back to the Cincinnati game doing the handball in the box. But yeah. I always kind of make an excuse for him. But that one, there's no excuse for
it. I've always
said
that you can put up with dumb mistakes if the intensity and the skill is there. You know, if it's one of these things where it's a heat of the moment thing, I'll take a stupid mistake. But when there are repeated stupid mistakes, it starts to be a trend.
And that one just killed us. That was the end of the game right there.
Yeah.
All credit to Louisville. Very good team. They could have beaten us anyway.
Yeah,
we were up 4-0.
It was going to be hard enough at 11-11.
But it was going to be a competition.
It was going to be a competition.
They had a couple of chances in that first half hour too, you know, when one went real wide, close, and one over the bar.
Mark punched one away. Yeah. You know,
but it's one of those things, though. You go down to 10 men, and everybody hangs their head a little bit, and it gives them an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that first goal goes in. You're like, well, here we go.
And that's where the environment of losing comes in.
And it just all – I mean, to give up 5 unanswered goals, even if we're a man down
at home,
is unexcusable. But –
we had to win the game. We had to push forward. We had to win the game. To be honest, I would rather have lost 5-1 going for it.
Yeah.
Because we needed to win, then shut up shop and lose 2-1.
No, I understand what you're saying.
But if you're a man down, you're not going for it in that manner. At that point in time, it's just reckless and sloppy.
They were damned if they did. They were damned if they didn't. The fact remains the responsibility lied on James Musa not to make that tackle.
Oh, yeah.
He's supposed to be a leader.
There's no excuse there.
He's supposed to be a leader in the locker room.
You know,
he's smart enough. He should know better.
So that's my thing. I don't know if he is smart enough. Because, again, you see a repeat performance of stupid mistakes.
It's only recently, though. I mean, it's been, you know, the last month has made a couple. But, I mean, for the past 18 months, though, he has been one of our best players. And
Yeah, I
can't.
He's been worse this year than he was last year.
By far.
He's given the ball away a lot more this year.
But also, he's playing a different position this year.
That's true.
I mean, I'm defending the guy because he's our guy.
He's a leader. He cannot make a stupid play like that. You know, how many times has he worn the captain's armband this year? Plenty.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be a leader. You can't make a stupid mistake like that if you're the leader.
This one to me was beyond. Like, other mistakes happen. I haven't ever really held him too much to the fire.
The handball, I was disappointed, but it wasn't.
He should have booted it out.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, it just.
But this one was a killer. This one broke your team.
Because it was in that game, at that moment, at that time in the season.
But really, at this point, does it surprise us? I mean, really?
Losing 5-1 going into that game? Yeah. That surprised me. I did not think we would lose that game 5-1.
I didn't either, but I'm saying, you know, to know that we basically shot ourselves in the foot.
We stepped on our own deck.
There's always something this year.
It is always something. We're always shitting the bed in some way, shape, or form. It's got to change.
Well, I have faith in the powers that be that it will change.
I do as well.
But I think the change has to be even bigger than I thought.
Oh, without a doubt.
I
thought there was a new coach, new philosophy, and maybe keep half the team. I don't even know if it's worth keeping half the team.
I can give you 6 or 7 names that I would keep, and that's about it.
Yeah. We can wait and talk about that after the last game of the season.
I would drive the players that I would keep out in a minivan.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's all gone wrong this year. And we've said it before, we added a 14-goal scorer.
Oh, yeah.
How do you get worse?
As I said,
if last year I'd have said, hey, we're going to add a 14-goal scorer, we're in the playoffs easy.
Yeah. I would have had a pride boner running around like, we're in.
Dude, the first 2 months of the season, we were great.
That, yeah.
And I'm convinced when we won at Sacramento, we came home, we battered Swope, we beat Tulsa home and away, and we thought this shit was easy. We were laughing. We were cruising. It was easy. We'll take off. They took their foot off the gas.
Well,
and once you take your foot off the gas in professional sports,
you never get it back.
It's very difficult to get it back. And I'm convinced that's what happened. And by the time we did kind of just get it back,
but even still, even taking your foot off the gas, we were not that far off.
No.
You know, we kept sliding, but we could have stayed there. But you cannot
go
with one win in 12 games. You can't do it.
That's quitting.
Unforgivable.
And what concerns me is that's twice in 2 seasons we've had a midsummer slump.
That dooms the entire thing.
And I don't know if it's
but
a club
this season we're not having the win winning games at the end.
True.
I mean,
true.
It's so, fucking awful.
And the best thing I can say about it, it's over this weekend.
Oh, I'm ready for it to be done.
But that being said, I'm ready for next season.
I'm already bored because effectively our season's over. There's no news coming out about St. Louis FC. No. There's nothing to talk about.
I mean, I want to win on Saturday just because.
Yeah, but there's no banter going on, you know.
We can't. What the hell do we have to banter
no,
about?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So
We can't say boots on
all,
goose.
And all the other clubs who are good, they're getting ready for the playoffs. They don't have time to talk to us.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Louisville pitied us.
They pity us.
The Coopers and the Derby City Ultras pity us.
Yeah.
That's worse than hating us.
Yeah, I agree. Taylor Sorrells, I mean, he feels sorry for us. I mean, I would rather Taylor hate us.
Right.
but he doesn't.
Everybody looks
them
at
them poor bastards over there.
Everybody just looks at St. Louis and pities us. We're fucking Tulsa. We are.
No, because at least Tulsa has bad ownership. They have a reason. We just
you
have
know
players
what?
That shit the bed.
You're exactly right there. We are not comparable to Tulsa. They are a different element totally.
But on the field, when people think of Tulsa, they put us in that category.
Yep.
Tulsa have always got battered. We've never really got battered up until
got
last week.
Got the shit beat out of us last week.
Up until last week. And we were close to being battered at home by Sacramento. But other than that, it's been one goal games. And, you know, I don't.
You take your solace in that, Matt Bird. I'm not.
But the thing is, everything we've asked this club to do, they've gone out and done it. We sat here a year ago.
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong.
No, no, no. Off the field.
I have no complaints about off the field. And they tried to fix it on the field.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Everything we've asked them to do on the field, we need three or four proven producers in this league.
And we got them.
We got them. You know, we called for Dale to be terminated. We got it. You know, so, I mean, it's not like they're just burying their heads not doing what we think.
No, if that's what you took from what I said.
No.
I'm just thinking
out loud.
I agree that they've tried and they're still trying and they're still working and they're not satisfied.
And don't get me
wrong. The front office is not
satisfied. The owners are not
satisfied. Sometimes, you know, Chelsea finished 10th last year. Sometimes it just goes wrong.
No, I get it. But it's hard to believe that we had a worse season than last year.
We're Newcastle.
But we have.
But yeah, that's the thing. We want this season to be an anomaly and be Chelsea and having an anomalous season.
But we've had two in a row.
But we don't want to turn into Sunderland.
We've had two in a row.
Exactly. I mean, we
I'd like to be Sunderland at this point because at least Sunderland can compete. We're Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm depressed, and I'm going into an off season of depression.
Well, they're going to need to figure out some distractions. I mean, release kits early, show us.
You've got coaching.
Players,
kits. Yeah, I mean.
Keep us engaged. And
well, I hate to say
because
I'm not worried about us. We're there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be begging. I've already renewed my season tickets. I'd be worried about the people who are on the fence about renewing their season tickets. You know what I mean?
See, some of us are there. And you know.
Oh, no. There's Luligans who, I've already said, they're not renewing their
right,
season tickets.
Right. I can't say I blame them. I had two last year. I don't know if I'm buying my second one.
They'll be the first comeback if we start winning.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not even us. I'm talking about the people who have come out and tried a few games. I think they've had fun at the games. I think
the
game day experience is a good time, but if you start putting together wins, then you start to build a fan base.
You simply cannot have
6,000
people.
I had friends that came to the last game.
6,000 people there, exactly, saw us lose 5-1.
You know, in our second biggest attendance of the year was at home to Sacramento, and we were 3-0 down after 20 minutes. You can't keep doing this. I mean, but we keep saying they can't keep doing it.
But they do it.
We keep
saying yes, we can.
You think that was bad? Yeah. Wait till we do next time.
Let's get more people in here to see how bad we are.
You thought we were bad against Sacramento? Watch us really shit the bed against Louisville.
All right. Are we done talking about that game? Because goddamn.
There's nothing else to talk about from that game.
Just
really.
Got our asses handed to us.
However, I do
biggest fucking rivals in front of the biggest crowd.
I want to turn it around for a moment. We have to appreciate our tailgate crew.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The smoked the fried turkey was unbelievable. We ran out of food.
Phenomenal.
You know, that's when you know it's good, when you run out of food. Those guys, Mark and Eric and Marcus,
the
characters and Aaron and Trokies, every game all year long destroyed the shit out of tailgating.
Yep.
This is the gold standard by which it should be looked at by the rest of the league. I cannot thank them enough. The trailers almost paid off because of how good they did. They raised enough money to get the trailer done. It's, you know, this is exactly what our group is about. Kudos to them. Thank you guys so much.
And a couple other shout outs, the game day captains who kind of help make things run smooth as much as they can. And the capos and the drummers, always top class. I mean, even when we've got nothing to cheer for, they keep the beat going. And
the guys that take off the caps and put the money in and get the beers for those
guys. The more beer guys.
Yep. I mean, you know, Darian did a great job with that. You know, Greg ended up taking over last couple games. You know, the drummers, again, we had almost half the drummers switch out this year.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, the guys from the Rat Rod Kings have had more gigs lately, so they've, you know, working on Saturday nights, so they can't always hit the game. So we had new people rotate in, and everything's...
Yeah, same with the capos, with Liz being super pregnant.
Super pregnant.
Not just regular pregnant. She's super pregnant now. You know, Brian stepped in and helped out. You know, every game.
Yep.
Somebody did something good.
People who just come and have fun and chant. Thanks to all of you, too.
Yeah.
Because...
But not Brad.
Not me.
Fuck that guy.
I don't chant.
He's an asshole.
I kind of am. Let's talk about another positive. Let's talk about Charity du Jour.
Can we ever?
For those of you that know or don't know, we've been taking collections this year at each game, raising money for various charities. This final one was for St. Louis Area Food Bank. The day started off with a nice surprise from St. Louis FC's ownership and Worldwide Technologies Group. They donated $5,000 to start off.
Unbelievable.
The food bank.
Unbelievable. Right away.
We raised another $1,600 at the tailgate, so...
Which by itself is amazing.
Yeah, our previous high was $900, so...
Granted, that did include the discounted sale of scarves and
shirts.
Sold
a lot of scarves and shirts and some liquid refreshments from Schlafly.
Whoa, which was amazing.
Big thank you to Schlafly for donating to our cause.
Yes.
But... For the St. Louis Area Food Bank, we raised enough money for 26,500 meals for hungry families in St. Louis.
Unbelievable.
And that brings our total for just the games now, not talking about any of the other extra events and stuff we do. Just for Charity du Jour, we raised over $10,000 this year. You put that with the $13,000 we did for Pizzagate last year, plus, you know, we did some fundraisers for the flood, Bike MS, a couple other programs. We're up over $25,000 for two years of charity donations.
And really, Charity du Jour, we only started halfway through the year.
Right. So, I mean, thank you to everybody. It really, really makes me happy that you guys embrace that part of our mission.
You know, $2, $3, $5 a game.
Yeah.
It goes a long way.
Makes a big difference. And thank you to all the people who, like, donate your tickets and extra things like that so we can raise more donations. So, thank you to everybody, and $25,000 for 2 years is a pretty good total.
That's pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
Good job to you, Brad, for making that all happen.
Yeah, it is mostly me. Thank you.
That's my asshole.
And the other thing from the game the other night that I do want to mention, actually two more things. Dale Shilley came by the tailgate before the game.
I saw that. That was fantastic.
Gave him a big hug, and he was happy to be there. He thanked us for everything we do. He wanted to see it from the fans' perspective because he never
got drunk.
Well, I offered him a beer. I don't know if he got drunk, but no. I mean, just really top class. I mean, I don't know. I told Mitch if I got fired from my job, I don't know that I would come back a few weeks later to say hi to everybody.
You know, it's funny. We bought a new car recently, got the loan through the credit union at my old job.
Yeah.
I wasn't going down there to pick up the paperwork.
Right. So, I mean, you know, class act, he was very complimentary. He said he was excited to see it from that perspective. Was looking forward to just kind of watching us during the game, you know, instead of being focused on the game the entire time. So,
but he can be a fan now. I mean, be a fan now. I mean... We all love the guy. Let's not kid ourselves.
But I thought it was very nice of him to come down, you know, seek me out at the tailgate specifically. And I know I saw him walking around shaking hands with other people and just a nice guy.
It was great to see him smiling, too.
I asked him to come on the podcast next year so he could tell us what the new coach is doing wrong.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Tactically.
Yeah, that would be great.
I was happy to see him smile.
I don't know why he's not starting Ambo. And then the final...
He'll be our DP when we go on the last.
There we go. Yeah, no shit. The final thing from Saturday I want to mention, we gave out our Player of the Year award to... You knew it was going to be Irvin Herrera. I mean, a couple other guys got votes. I mean, it wasn't like it was a unanimous, but Herrera, he's had such a great season.
It's funny because we've always said that it's about somebody that works hard. That it may not be the star player, right, but it's the guy that works hard, does everything he's supposed to, and does things off the field too as well.
Yeah.
Well, Irv did that too.
Yeah. He embraced what we did too. I mean, he, you know.
Well, and he had such a good season. You know, it's like
it. And the thing was, is that even when he wasn't scoring, we saw him working hard.
Yeah.
And making other players. You know, it wasn't.
And he attended events outside of the games. He interacted with fans. He made good friends with a lot of fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even talking just Luligans. I mean, you would see him interacting with kids and stuff at different things. So
that's our guy.
Quality guy. Well deserved. I mean, like I said, there were a couple other guys that got votes, but Herrera had such a good season. It wasn't a surprise.
No, not at all. I mean, and again,
and he was, well, he was of course very gracious and thankful. So,
yeah. You know, it's funny because the guy's smile is infectious.
It really is, isn't it?
You see him just grinning like that, and it's like that's our guy. That's who I want to be around.
I just messaged him. He said, "I hope we see you again."
Yeah, we'll get to that when we come to questions, I think. But we got a few news topics to talk about before we get there, so we'll just run down them real quick. I want to mention this Saturday there is a watch party for the final 2016 St. Louis FC game. We'll be at ITAP Soulard. We are playing the Oklahoma City Energy.
And they've not won in five. We had a chance. If we didn't blow it on Saturday, we'd be going down there with a chance.
We are what you refer to as a slump buster. We're that chick.
But anyway, we're going to have a special co-branded St. Louis FC ITAP Oktoberfest Stein.
That looks awesome.
I don't know what the difference between a Stein and a mug is. It's a glass mug. So
German.
I think of the Stein as the thing with like the little
the
lid.
The flipper lid.
Yeah, but yeah. This does not have the flipper lid. But it's a very attractive glass.
Does it have the thumb rest? Does it have the thumb rest?
It might have the thumb rest.
Because you know what? That could be the difference.
It's a half liter mug, and for $8 for your first one, that's filled, you get to keep the mug. And then after that, any draft that is normally $5, which is usually for a pint, they will fill your half liter for $5. So
that's how you know it's German, because it's liter.
Liter. Mm-hmm. Ah, there you go.
It's
metric.
Like metric.
That's
yeah.
Right.
If it was American, that'd be,
it'd
yeah.
be a pint, ounces. A milk pint.
It'd be a quart. So come get the special ITAP St. Louis FC Stein. I believe they will only be available here because they're available while supplies last, and I don't think
there's many of them.
They'll last. So
I can't wait for it. I look forward to
guys,
it.
Guys, it's our last little drinkies.
Come get together. Let's have a little fun. Like I said,
because heaven knows I ain't going to see all yous till March next year.
We'll raise a glass and we'll pour one out to our dead homies and we'll
the season
drink our
the
sorrows.
Season is
yeah,
a dead
drink
homie.
Our sorrows away. So this Saturday, ITAP, 6 o'clock, and I do want to remind you can come if you're under 21. There was an issue with a late kickoff one day, but
don't
please
try to drink.
Yeah, but just don't let that stop you from coming. They will let you in. So
I believe the kickoff is 6 p.m.
6 p.m., yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll get there a little bit early, but I don't know. We're not going to do much business. We're just going to have a few beers. And
yeah, there's no. We're not going to bring any scarves. We're not going to bring shirts. We're not going to do any of that kind of stuff. This is just a end-of-season relaxing good time.
Yep.
And by good time, I mean screaming at the television.
And there'll be a couple front office guys who want to come out and have a beer, and there may even be a few players that don't make the trip come out. So come out and let's have a good time, or as much of a good time as we can.
We'll make it a good time, because that's what we do.
If we score early, and you know, we'll just revert back into supporter mode and just,
oh yeah,
you know,
oh yeah,
win the game.
We party harder than our team plays.
Win the game.
And then Matt Bird said he's not going to see you then for the whole year, but October 8th, there is a game at Soccer Park. It's the United States U-17 team versus St. Louis FC's under-18 academy team. So I'm going to be there, Matt.
Yeah, buy a ticket.
I'll see a few more of you out there.
It's not sold out, idiots. You can still buy tickets.
That's right. Do it.
It'll be fun.
So, yes, let's do that. 2017 season tickets are on sale. It's the hope that kills you.
Tell you, that might be the scarf next year.
It very well could be. So
a third time's a charm.
As depressed as I was earlier, I'm saying you all would be stupid if you don't buy your season tickets.
That there's a reason.
Yeah, you want to do it soon because Section 10 is gone now. Well, it's still there, but it's going to be reserved seating.
It's
so
just be more expensive and you have to sit on your own.
It will be more expensive, exactly right. So if you want to get in on the deal for the Luligans, you want to be in Section 9 and 8, and you better get them quick because 8 sold out completely last year with season tickets, and 9 almost did. So.
And I imagine a lot of the new people that were buying individual tickets are going to want to buy season tickets so they can make sure they go.
Yep, they're going to make up for those people who said they aren't going to renew, and those people will be sad because when they decide they want to come out and see this hot new team St. Louis FC's put on the field, mm-hmm. they'll have to sit like over in, you know, Section 14 or 15 because 8 and 9 are going to be full. So do it.
I like your false optimism. Because you tried to be convincing, but you just weren't.
I have a little glimmer of hope, and it's going to kill me.
It's the hope that kills you.
Something,
it's going to be all right, guys.
Yeah, it is. It's back on. It's back on in 2017. How about that on the scarf? 2017. It's back on.
No, because we might have to throw them away by June.
That's a good point. Something that's going on in St. Louis tonight as we speak. I know Mitch has been out of town and he graciously allowed us to come over and record tonight, but he had a better option. As a member of the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame, he could have gone to the dinner tonight. seen, you know, some of the new people get into the Hall of Fame.
Were you going to be my date?
You're a veteran now.
Lori Kolupny was getting in, Conrad Dobler, one of the Sphinx. You know, as an old hat, you know, Hall of Famer, you could have been there to, you know, help their transition into Hall of Fame life.
You know, people were saying that it was a shame that I got in before Lori, but remember, she left St. Louis. I stayed here
that
to make
true.
Soccer work.
That is true.
She went elsewhere.
Yeah.
Well, she had to make a living.
Luckily, we don't have to worry about making a living.
Yes. Yeah.
We do this shit for free.
At a loss, even. Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're going to go back down to every other week at least. Maybe every 3 weeks during the offseason.
I'm straight.
If there's nothing to talk about, we'll just put a Rick Roll up on the pod that week.
That was great. That was a great idea that Brad had to do that. Seeing people's reaction the next morning, we're just like.
It was good.
It was a good one.
All right. And then the last big topic we'll talk about before we get to questions. It's what's on all of Twitter today. Brian Strauss released an article for SI.
Great author.
We know Brian Strauss. We like his work. He's reporting on the imminent collapse of NASL, the doom of NASL. We've talked about it before. We've always thought it's a matter of time, but it may be quicker than we thought.
You always thought it was on its way out. I saw them adding a few teams at the beginning of the year. And thought, you know, maybe it'll be okay.
Nothing will be okay.
But the teams they've added, you just sit here now and scratch your head and wonder what the hell they were doing.
Yep. Well, we wondered that at the time.
We know, just for those of you who haven't read the article, reported earlier, Rayo OKC is in financial shambles. Their Spanish team was...
They don't even have a pitch.
Yeah, their Spanish team's going into relegation, and there's rumors they're pulling out all of their financing if they haven't already. So it's on its last legs. Florida Strikers haven't paid their bills in quite some time, and it was actually announced today that the league is going to float them.
The Brazilian owners called Peterson today and said, we are not putting any more money into this team.
So for at least the rest of this season, the league's going to float them. I don't know what that says about next season.
I don't know where the league's coming up with money. That's what I'd like to know, is that how do you have that kind of money laying around?
Yep. Reports earlier, you know, this month came out that Ottawa is considering either a jump to USL or maybe going into the new Canadian league when it starts maybe in 2018.
And then there was a report today that they're closing their academies.
Their academy.
They closed their academy, okay.
Yep.
So that's not a good sign.
They're probably going under.
The Strauss article mentioned that Tampa Bay is close to making the jump to USL.
That's a coup.
That's
a big one. That's a coup.
That's one of their better teams. I mean, financially.
Stable.
Yeah.
And it's the league's hometown team.
Yeah, it is Tampa.
Yep. The Cosmos are down to drawing under 4,000 a game.
Yep. But they're losing already their best team in the league, Minnesota United, because they're going to MLS. I mean, that was going to happen regardless. There are rumors now, and we saw today Carolina has applied to be rebranded as AC Carolina, the Railhawks. There are rumors that they're another team that's looking at jumping to USL.
Naming rebrand with that change would make a lot of sense.
Yep. And they're also talking about starting a women's team, which again falls into USL's purview, or if it's an NWSL team, MLS, so they'd want to be closely aligned to the league that's most closely aligned to MLS, I would think. Then we look at Jacksonville. There's been rumors that Jacksonville is sort of eyeing the waters, you know, waiting to see what happens. Because Jacksonville, if they lose Tampa Bay and they lose Fort Lauderdale, you know, those were their two of their biggest rivals down mm-hmm. there. Maybe Jacksonville makes the jump.
And then you're left also then with Edmonton. They don't draw nothing.
And Edmonton will be a likely candidate to go to that Canadian league.
FC Miami don't draw.
That's Miami. It doesn't work in Miami.
Yeah. And then you got Puerto Rico. Even if Puerto Rico says, we're going to stay in NASL, we're going to make it work, they'll have no one to fly there and play them.
Right.
I mean.
So you got the San Francisco team,
which happens, is new. Because it still hasn't actually played a game.
And you've got Indy 11, which is the biggest.
It could be a league that went from having no West Coast teams to just only having a West Coast team.
Yeah. I mean.
I'm not going to dance on their grave. I do think they've been squeezed. USL and MSI.
They've done it to themselves.
But some of the decisions they've made have left you scratching their head. I mean, with the Puerto Rico thing, you have to pull Carmelo aside and say, Carmelo, put a team in fucking Omaha, dude. You know?
Yeah, I mean.
Paolo, put a team in Albuquerque.
Because that's definitely hurt the Strikers,
right?
And it doesn't work. As I've said it for 4 years since that Beckham nonsense started. You can't compete with South Beach.
No, you can't. And as we were saying at the beginning, they did this to themselves. They were so worried about going after MLS.
We haven't even talked about Rayo.
We started out, they're a disaster.
But when you're so focused on going after MLS, you don't realize that you don't even, or are you, maybe a better way of saying it is, they're going after MLS to, you know, wave the flag in front of the fact that they don't even qualify for D2.
That's the thing, and I want to get into that here. Here are the basics of D2 certification, what you have to have. The league must have a minimum of 8 teams to apply. By year 3, it should have a minimum of 10. And by year 6, it has to have a minimum of 12 teams. This will be year 6. They counted this upcoming 2017. Yeah. They're at 12 teams right now if nobody folds. If, you know, just mm-hmm. with Minnesota leaving and San Francisco coming in, they're at 12 teams. If any one of those teams folds or jumps to USL, they drop below the minimum 12 teams. Mm-hmm. They have to have a team in every time zone. They have to have a team, at least one team in the Pacific, the Central, and the Eastern. They've never had a team in the Pacific, so they haven't qualified for D2 mm-hmm. all of these years because this is the first year they're adding a team to the Pacific zone. But if they lose OKC, they don't have anybody in the Central time zone.
Also the problem is as well is that they put themselves up against MLS by trying to be the anti-MLS, but they weren't the anti-MLS. They were still a closed league. You still had to pay expansion fees to get in there, and it just seemed so haphazard that there was as they were squeezed by USL and MLS taking teams off them. You know, Minnesota, San Antonio, and Atlanta. They lost Atlanta basically because Atlanta United.
Yeah, that was MLS's doing.
You know, they were
yeah.
squeezed, but they had no good teams coming through. They should have just opened their league and said, if you want to come in and play, if you're a good enough team, if you're a Chattanooga, Detroit, come in and play. You can just come in. Look
at the facts. USL has added teams, not counting the MLS 2 teams, but we've added a ton of teams. Mm-hmm. NASL should have been going after all of those markets before USL was. You know what I mean? They should have gone after St. Louis.
Nashville.
They should have gone after Nashville. They should have gone after Charlotte.
And I'm loathed at the idea of people having to pay to get in. So, and if you're struggling for teams, you shouldn't be charging them anyway. You're struggling for teams.
Yeah.
You know, you should have gone to Nashville and said, Nashville, just come and play for free. Just come in here. If you've got a good stadium plan, if you can put a good team and sponsorship stuff put together, just come and play. We need you. You know, go to Detroit, go to Chattanooga.
Yeah.
You know, they had a problem of not having enough teams coming in to replace the ones going.
And the thing is, even, you know, you can take this to the next level, is that get smart about it. Work with the NPSL and say, hey, you can set up an NPSL franchise for pennies on the dollar. Do that for a year or two. Get your stuff together so you're ready to come into the league strong. You can set up a feeder system, in effect, what MLS has done with USL. Because where are the USL teams coming from?
They've been banging their chest this whole time about how there should be promotion and relegation. Because
they can't have anyone relegate out of a league. They don't have enough teams
right.
as it is.
But if they would have, and they toyed around with partnering with NPSL, they should have. They should have said, let's get your 10 strongest NPSL teams, and let's start this. You know, starting next year, you know, we'll do whatever. At least that would have brought some interest to the league.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit City FC, you know, imagine if those guys were playing for something. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of things why NASL hasn't worked. I think their leadership has been at fault for most of it. Let's go through a couple other things. All league stadiums must have a minimum of 5,000 seats. NASL does qualify there. All their stadiums are 5,000 seats or more.
Nobody in them.
Well, that's a good point. But and then there's a whole bunch of financial viability stuff that I don't want to go into because it's detailed. Just look at those, you know, things I mentioned. Well, which league qualifies for D2? USL or NASL? USL easily qualifies. Now, there may be some teams that don't. We may have to get some teams an expanded stadium or may have to buff up their financial viability. But all the league requirements, USL's
even
already there.
Even if you cut out the ones that don't meet requirements, and I'm not being cold, I'm just saying.
Well, they are being
They're cutting themselves out anyway.
Wilmington,
yeah.
Right.
And Orange County Blues got a new owner who seems more invested, and he may try to do something with it. So NASL can bitch about MLS all they want. They did it to themselves.
They made some very, very strange decisions. That said, there's been no official announcement, and they're all gonna go meet and stuff. US soccer has to figure out what to do with probably 7 viable teams that are gonna be left without a league. I think they're going to be forced to join USL. And I think USL, personally, I think is going to be told to absorb them.
I think USL should open their arms.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they would. You think that USL isn't looking at Indy 11 and licking their chops? I mean, that, you know, to put them in a conference with us and Louisville and Cincy, I mean, shit, that's made for TV.
We'll take a San Francisco and an Edmonton to get the Rowdies and Indy 11.
No, I don't think. USL... San Francisco is not a viable team yet. I'm not even counting that. They're off.
Right.
But viable teams, Edmonton, if they want to come in, Jacksonville, Indy, you know, the Rowdies.
I mean, the Cosmos become a question.
I still think the Cosmos are going to do a Globetrotters. They're going to be a team without a league, and they're going to travel around and play all-star games.
It, you know, honestly, might as well.
They probably make more money that way.
A sideshow.
Yeah, they are a sideshow. I really think they are.
You know, but in all honesty,
but it would be nice to play New York Red Bulls 2 and New York City FC 2 if they do their own academy team. That'd be cool for the Cosmos to play those guys. Actually, give a New York rivalry some meaning at the USL level, because God knows there's only 100 people that show up.
Could you imagine the Cosmos being told, "Yeah, you can come in"? But you're NYCFC 2 now.
Oh.
Could you imagine?
Wouldn't happen. They'd say, fuck it, we're out.
What option do they have?
They would be a globetrotting team.
I would love it.
They'd sign Ronaldinho, and they'd sign a whole bunch of guys that are past their prime.
4,000 people as it is. Good luck with that.
I don't know. I still think the MLS wants to hold, would love to get their hands on that Cosmos name, and then when Red Bull decides to fuck off out of New York, rebrand them as the Cosmos. Because you know Red Bull's eventually going to change.
Yes.
And then you can't keep the name Red Bull if they're not the owners of the team. I think they want that name more than they want that team.
They could have had it, though.
The fact of the matter is, and I made this point on Twitter today, I don't support leagues. I support my club. And all the competent clubs in NASL will be fine. They will find a home.
And I do feel sorry for the people like Indy 11 who bought into the NASL philosophy. And they picked NASL over USL because they wanted to do it their way. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do it unfettered by a salary cap and things like that. And they've really given everything they can to make it successful.
And they've been successful themselves doing so.
And then now they're going to be told, sorry, the league folded and you have to go with USL. I feel sorry for those guys. But the fans will have a game to go to. Yeah, and
again,
it's not the end of the world either.
No. But can they
really sell, like, right now, can they sell an FC Edmonton game?
No.
In Indy? No, they're going because people support their own team.
But I'd also be hoping if St. Louis was in that bat in the NASL right now, I'd be like saying, oh, please, USL, take us.
Oh,
please.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, you guys know what it's like to have a shit NASL team going there.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we do.
I mean, you've been there.
Yeah, that was – we could blame, you know, Jeff Cooper for all of this. If we get right down to it, he's the one that broke up USL.
I'm telling you, I do want that Puerto Rico away game, though.
Oh, that would be a phenomenal thing. Let's just rent a cruise ship. maybe they could do Puerto Rico and then do Fort Lauderdale, and we could just have a cruise ship take us.
International jail tour. All right. I don't really have anything else to say about NASL. We're wait and see. There could be two or three teams leave NASL. That means either folding or jumping to...
By what we just said, it could be four.
It could be four, yeah. You know, teams may fold.
Once one goes, they're all going. I think U.S. soccer.
I think it'll take a year. If a couple teams come over this year, they'll still do like the 2017, you know, how they split their season. But they'll be watching. And if it works, if Tampa Bay, for example, Tampa Bay is a big one. If Ottawa comes over, maybe it's not that big a deal.
But here's the thing. I think right now, these Indy 11, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Jacksonville, I think right now they're on a conference call talking to each other, and if they're
going
to go... It's going to be a job lot. I think it's not going to be one. It's going to be four or five once.
And then maybe we get our Central Conference, or we stay in the West for one more year.
I'm okay with it.
I'm thinking Colorado, wreck weed. Wreck weed.
We can do our San Antonio trip that we wanted to do.
Now, we moved to the East, and then what road trips are you making this year, Brad? I'm still going to Colorado Springs. I'm gonna catch a Real Salt Lake game and get high.
I'm going to watch the switchbacks against fucking Austin.
Yeah. I really want to see it.
They're going to be playing Portland, too.
Yeah. I'm going to get high as fuck. What other team wears green in the West? I'll go to an energy game and pretend they're our boys. All right, let's do some questions. I don't know. Anybody else have anything to say anymore about the NASL thing?
Nope.
Wait and see.
It was sad, but you called it last year.
Wait, man. Maybe that's our scar for next year. Wait and see.
Wait and see.
Wait and see.
Will we be good this year?
Wait and see.
It's of course our podcast will post in the morning, and then like around 10:15 a.m. it'll come out that NASL is...
It's fine. It was just a sinister plot by MLS to say the fear and indecision and
you're actually fine.
All right. Dan Dawson, this may be the best question of the night. He wants to know, is Bird writing a season 2 book, and what's it called?
It's called No.
It's called Wait and See.
It's called The Hope Killed Me.
No, I had an idea for one, and it just never transpired.
So there you go.
Might do it next year, but probably not.
Lazy immigrants.
took my job.
Oh, you know what? You could write a book.
You're a basket of deplorables.
I was going to say, you could write a book about our winning streaks.
Yeah.
Done.
Crickets. Pat Ryan wants to know, off-season charities. Yes, we will be doing off-season charities, Pat Ryan. As you all know, we're going to do our annual Christmas party. Not sure where it'll be this year. Maybe at Amsterdam. Might be Amsterdam's turn if we do it with AO like last year. Not sure, but we will do a toy drive for Christmas. So that will be coming probably in the December Christmas time frame.
Nah, fuck it. Let's do it at Easter.
Things like we will do, we will try our best. Everybody knows we didn't get to do our AO charity game this year because of the flood. And then by the time the field was ready, the season had already started. So we are going to try to do that this year. And there will be various other charity drives and charity things that we will. Liz is doing that video game marathon thing next month, so we'll put that out for Team
She'll
Hooligan.
Be breastfeeding in one arm and playing video games in the
other
one.
Have a baby on her arm and playing video games. So, but she's going to have a Team Hooligan thing, so we'll have an area you can donate for that. And if you, anybody else out there is doing, you know, a marathon or half marathon or whatever and raising money and want to do it as Team Hooligan, let us know and we'll direct people to donate to that. David Nothius, this is also a very important question. He wants to know why the team loses every time he watches. It is you, David.
That explains it.
We've had a discussion.
I'm gonna buy you a Louisville City shirt.
Yeah. We talked to Darian. He's gonna see who your ticket rep is and make sure you're taken off the list. And it's all your fault. Thanks a lot.
To be fair, there's probably about 400 of us that can say this.
Yeah, we've all been to the games and they always lose. So it's maybe they'll just have to ban the Hooligans.
Maybe it's you, Brad.
It very well could be. We know I was watching a movie with my daughter when they beat San Antonio. So
I know, that's what I'm saying.
It is me. Kyle Eagle wants to know, bench players who should start? I don't know. I mean, at this point.
I've always been impressed with Tyler David when he started.
I don't think he was quite ready to be a starter this year.
I think Jordan Roberts stepped up and earned a starting job.
See, the thing is I think there's a lot of guys that are good platoon players. That, you know, split time with somebody else. But I don't know if there's anybody that's going to be a starter right now.
The thing...
I stand by David.
The thing is...
David. Well, you would be wrong.
No, but the thing is, it's... You know, somebody also mentioned, you know, are we going to go through...
Tell you what, Tyler David wouldn't have fucking tackled that guy after 30 minutes.
No, he wouldn't have.
Sometimes it's the things you don't do rather than the things you do.
Yeah. You're a man of the match, Tyler.
So, I don't really want to go into which players we should bring back or not because... They may not be here anyway.
they may not have a choice.
So we have to wait and see who the coach is, see, you know, what that coach is going to be, which will get us into a question here in a minute.
Just see who gets out of that minivan.
That's right. Tim Burgess wanted to know, will there be off-season events? Of course there will be off-season events. We mentioned the Christmas party and the AO charity game. We might do something for the USL championship, like watch party somewhere. Depends on who it is.
Cryathon.
If it's New York Red Bulls 2 versus Los Angeles Galaxy 2, I'm not going to watch it.
If it's Louisville City hosting, we could all go there and cheer for the other team.
That would be fun.
That would be pretty fun.
Bring the drums and everything. Rent a mob for whoever they're playing against.
You imagine you just tell Oklahoma City Energy, just stop the buses in St. Louis, we'll get on, we'll come with you.
And don't worry about it. We know you got nobody going to the game. We'll cover it.
Yeah.
we'll be the away supporters.
We got green.
That's right. in addition to that, last year we did like a watch party for MLS Cup with the team.
That was fun.
There will, of course, be preseason events for the team next year. Lots of things. We'll figure out.
It goes by so quick. I mean, the off season is long, but you know, you've got this thing in October. Then we'll start having the Christmas party.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I don't know. Basically, you know, from November, you know, Thanksgiving to New Year's. You're done with regular life events. So really you lose 6-7 weeks of the off season due to living.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then you start hearing rumors about players and then the kits come out and then there's the
3 weeks of USL promising a schedule that doesn't come for 3 weeks.
But then you start getting into preseason games anyway, so
do the AGM. Yep.
Yeah.
We may or may not, I have not talked to the powers that be, but last year we did a nice town hall.
I think we'll probably end up doing that again. That
so we might
be popular.
Do something like that.
27 where, questions, like, can we win this year?
Yeah. Can we get a roof, and will we win? All right, Lucas Dykhouse, you kind of answered this last week, but we'll go ahead and say it again. What are we looking for in a coach, guys?
Winning.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Winning mentality.
There's a lot of different right answers to that. It could be a veteran that's had plenty of experience in, you know, U.S. leagues. It could be a young guy on the way up. I'm not so concerned with having a certain kind of coach.
I am.
I just want a proven coach.
I'll answer this, Lucas, right? Because you look at James O'Connor from Louisville City last week. If you get on his bad side, he's going to run you up and down Dale at training the next week. You know, he's going to beat your ass.
Yeah.
Dale was too nice. If you got on the bad side of Dale, he'll put his arm around you, you'll say sorry, and he'll tell you everything's going to be okay.
Ask Sam Fink about that.
Well, you know but you know what I mean?
No, yeah, yeah. I agree with you in general, yeah.
Yes. I would take a mean SOB, a Matt Caution type who's screaming profanities at you all through training.
Yeah.
I think we've missed some of that.
Do we want to go as far as like an Oklahoma City and hire a guy who'll murder somebody outside of a bar?
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with murder?
I think I am. At least being charged. You don't have to be convicted.
He was not convicted. I think he's available.
Yeah, just the charge.
Just for our lawyer speaking, he was acquitted.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Allegedly murdered someone. Murdered.
You know, I think... Tactics-wise, I think a lot of people are hung up on tactics. I think the players that we have are going to determine that a lot. But I'd like to see somebody that's, in general, more aggressive than what we've seen the past 2 years.
Yeah. And I really don't care if it's a defensive coach, if it's an offensive coach. I just want to win. Al Davis, man, just win, baby.
And I want a coach that is going to throw something every once in a while.
That'd be awesome.
I like a good tantrum.
They want a party.
No. You need a throw party too.
No, I want, you know, takes the Gatorade jug and tosses it.
Yeah.
Kicks it over.
Throws a chair at the ref.
Yeah, I'm not talking full Bobby Knight. I just want just a little.
Hey, Lino.
Yeah. Not Lino. We need to have Lino on.
Folding chair to the back of the Lino's head as he runs in front of the bench.
We got his contact info. We need to have Lino on.
Last question here. This is from Bobby Peters, and I left it for last because it may be a big topic. It may be, fuck it. But, because I'm kind of like, fuck it.
I like when Brad's just malaise.
The question is, taxation is theft. And I can only assume he means this in regards to public financing of an MLS stadium.
Taxation is theft.
It just depends on how it's written up and, you know what I mean?
So, there's several thoughts to this. And the first one
being...
Well,
I'm a socialist, so... I don't consider it theft.
My first thing is that determining the level of taxation. Are we talking about tax credits or actual tax funding?
Right.
Because there's two very big things. Walmart gets tax credits, you know, TIFs and the like.
Right.
You know, Monsanto, you know, Worldwide Technologies, I'm sure. Any large corporation that is going to build a new headquarters or any sort of... job producing location is going to get some sort of tax breaks.
Right.
That's fine. I'm great with that.
But if they raise your water bill 30 cents a month so we can build a stadium, that's a different kind of thing.
It is. Now, if it is something small and minuscule, really doesn't matter.
Right.
No. If it's adding a percentage of a penny onto a tax or something like that, does it really matter? No. If they raise alcohol tax, is it going to stop me from drinking a lot of beer? No.
But I do fall into the line with the people that say, make billionaires buy their own stadiums.
I'm fundamentally with you. I don't think that for essentially what it could be is that poor black folk in North City end up paying for a stadium so rich suburban white guys can go watch soccer.
Yeah.
I think that is fundamentally wrong. That said, I do think a city like St. Louis should have a decent soccer stadium. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if they want to pay for it, if we as a collective want to pay for it, that's fine. I'm a big believer in democracy. If we vote for it,
I think it should go to a public vote.
I agree.
But I also don't think it should be dependent on MLS. If you want a stadium, just build a stadium. I think there's enough soccer games that could warrant building a decent 15,000, 20,000 seat stadium. And that will put you in line for U.S. national team games, Olympic qualifiers, women's games, college games, the NCAA Final Four, but so on and so forth.
As long as... we do it. If we don't we can't do it like Chicago's done.
Oh, God, no.
When we saw the terms of Chicago Fire's lease with Bridgeview this year, it was it's criminal, you know. So it all depends on how it's structured. I do think it should go to a public vote. If you're talking about raising a tax for the stadium, put it to a public vote, mm-hmm. and let the chips fall where they may.
I do think that it can't be purely one way or the other. That's always been my feeling, is that you can't have an owner say, you have to build it yourself.
Right.
Because honestly, that's not fair to the people before.
Right.
The other companies that are job creators, that's not fair. But on the flip side, yeah. It's also not fair to say, I want the city to buy it, because then you have the Rams part too.
Right.
I think it's got to be a partnership, a 50-50 or whatever break, where whoever's buying the team is investing in the stadium to show that they are committed.
And, I mean, people may care one way or another about this, but it's a competitive league. There's not that many spots available. If we won't build them a stadium, but Nashville will get the bid. So I'm not saying that makes it right or wrong, but I'm saying I understand that in this world, you got to pay to play. I mean, St. Louis is going to have to spend in some way, either taxes or a land grant or something, to get this done. But we'll see how it goes.
Land is by far the premium of the entire conversation.
Right.
You know, downtown has gone through a good revitalization in some areas. There are still some areas that are blighted. There are still some that will
never
be corrected.
I'm not going to make the case that, you put in a stadium and it revitalizes the economy. Because I know it doesn't.
That's horseshit.
The studies are out there.
Yeah.
And, Ballpark Village, yes, it's a nice building in the middle of a shithole where you can get shot after dark. You know, it didn't fix the area.
No,
so
the parking that we parked at for the Edward Jones Dome for the Real Madrid game was a disgrace.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a disgrace around
that. I'm not going to make that argument, but I will say it should go to a public vote, and if it's structured right, I'm not against public, at least part of public
cooperation.
Yeah. But I also believe if you're serious about bringing an MLS team to town, you should be able to put up some of that money for that stadium too.
I mean, you can't enjoy the zoo and the art gallery and the history museum for free and then turn around and say, well, we shouldn't have this.
Yeah.
You know, I
well, the only part of that is that
I'm
there's not
to
a private entity that's going to benefit from the zoo.
Yeah. No, I get you.
It's a, you know, where a private soccer team would public, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do think that it's part of your civic course of action. You know,
and look at it this way. It's going to be about $800,000 cheaper than an NFL stadium. So
yeah,
we're getting off easy.
And I do think, and not to be too crazy here for a moment, but there will be a lot of good that comes out of it. There is another concert venue. There, you know, how often do we have concerts?
Sorry, I said 800,000, 800 million.
Million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I knew what you meant.
But
you know,
we'll
how
be
many,
in line for all, even.
Like you said, the soccer games, concerts.
Oh, we could very easily become a new Columbus. You know, they hold those games in Columbus Crew Stadium all the time.
Yeah, how many times?
Yeah, and how many times does, you know, a tour come through that doesn't come to St. Louis because we don't.
They won't play at Riverport because Riverport's a dump.
Right. They don't want to be in. They can't get into Kiel Center, and they don't want to play at the Riverport. Well, guess what? We've got another facility now.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like you said, we've got, you know, the international games, all those kind of things that don't have to be played at Busch Stadium.
Well, and you could do then your state high school championships there and things like that that are for the good of the community. And
yeah,
and you know, U.S. Soccer likes Sporting KC in Columbus because middle of Denver, because middle of the
easily
country,
accessible.
Yeah, and we're
oh,
right
they'd
there.
Love to blow that St. Louis horn. Mm-hmm. The birthplace of American soccer is where U.S. you know will take on Mexico, or you know what I mean.
Yeah,
they would love that storyline. So I don't know. I'm not.
Well, I think if we want to build a stadium, just build one anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, they did that with the dome, and look what happened. Yeah. 20 years later, it's still...
Well, and I think that's the thing, is that I do think...
There's
that
a lot of bad taste.
The Rams have scored salt of that earth so
we
bad.
Still owe, whatever, $17 million on the effort to try to keep them here.
Right. Well, which was...
No, I know,
ridiculous, but yeah.
There's $20 million we could have put to the stadium right there.
Yep. There's the North End, you know? It is. That's
Mitch Maurice Memorial Stand.
I just want a plaque.
You'll be dot. You'll be dead by the time it shows up.
Oh, yeah. Posthumous.
Did you go to the
posthumous
doctor?
Posthumous honoring.
One of us will be dead statistically.
That's actually.
We're all overweight. We're all white. We're all, you know,
drink too much
in our 40s.
I love cheese.
One of us will have a heart attack probably before this podcast airs.
Wait.
I'll tell you what, I thought one of us was going to have a heart attack before.
I did have In-N-Out.
Finished on
Saturday. I did have In-N-Out twice this week. I might be a candidate.
So, yeah. I don't know. That's what I think about taxation as theft. It could be, if done right.
No, I hope he meant like the MLS stadium, because if we just want a philosophical debate.
Oh, yeah, we could go into that too, yeah.
Well, there's no taxation in Somalia. Move there.
So, they also, curiously enough, no MLS stadium.
They don't have any gun laws, man. The Second Amendment's rife over there in Somalia. Fuck. Love you.
Hit it up. No taxes and all the gun laws or no
Somalia,
gun laws.
Somalia, man.
All right, so that's all I got. Anybody else got anything?
That devolved way.
No.
That could have gone really downhill fast.
Go to Somalia. It's the hope that kills you. Not there. They don't have the hope.
Well, no. That's the guy that carries the gun around.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. All right. I don't know. That's all right.
I got nothing else. So, Saturday, watch party. And after that, crying our beers until next season.
Yep.
Then I'll be back on.
Hit it back on.
Back on.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.